Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Those of us who went to public school in New Hampshire will likely recall hopping in the school bus for a visit to the Museum of Science in Boston or maybe to Sturbridge Village. For decades, schools have embraced field trips as positive and popular learning experiences. Today, museums, cultural institutions, and the American Association of School Administrators note a steep drop in the number of field trips taken by schools. More than half of American schools did away with the learning excursions in 2010 alone. Researchers at the University of Arkansas are studying the educational effects of such a drop-off. J. Philip Green is endowed chair and head of the Department of Education Reform at University of Arkansas. He's also a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. J. Philip Green, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
I note that the Field Museum in Chicago lost 100,000 student guests last year. What are some of the factors contributing to such a dramatic drop in field trip attendance?
Well, one force that's reducing field trips is budgetary. So as budgets get tight, it's easier to cut field trips than other expenses, in part because people making these decisions within schools might see field trips as an unnecessary frill. So that's one source of pressure. Another pressure on field trips is high-stakes testing. So the more that we are pushing schools to emphasize reading and math, which are very important, the more they think they can't get away from the classroom to have these other kinds of experiences. And so that's another reason why they're cutting back on field trips.
For those schools that are still conducting field trips, the nature of that experience is also changing. It's something that you note, that there's a shift to sort of reward-based field trips. Can you explain that shift?
Sure. Well, culturally enriching field trips are to places that kids don't know they like. And we want to expose them to these places because we think that with exposure, they'll learn to like them and go back there on their own in the future. Reward trips are to places that kids already like, that we know they already like, to places like amusement parks and movie theaters and sporting events and bowling alleys. And these are done to reward students for good behavior or good performance on tests. And sometimes there are things that the teachers enjoy a little bit more, too. So there's been a kind of a shift away from culturally enriching trips towards reward trips over the last several years.
In a very unscientific way, I was talking with some friends about field trips, and they're some of the most memorable school experiences for many of us. So that's purely anecdotal, but your team actually went to work quantifying the value of field trips. How did you approach the research first?
What we did is the first of its kind. We randomly assigned students to having a field trip experiment, like a medical study. So what happened was the Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art opened in Northwest Arkansas. It was the first major art museum built in four decades, and it was built in an area that had never had an art museum before. So there was huge demand to go, and the museum couldn't accommodate all groups at once. So what we did is we assigned by lottery which groups could come now and which would come later on, and we could then compare those that won the lottery to come now to those that had their trips deferred to identify the effect of the trip with really high confidence, just like we do in medical trials.
Okay, so how many students did you survey and what was the result?
In total, we're talking about almost 11,000 students, almost 500 teachers, and more than 500,000 bits of information were collected in this study. So it was a very big effort. And what we learned is that students actually get a lot of benefits out of field trips, more than we might have expected from a single outing. So, for example, we found that students learned a lot of academic content. They pick up a lot of factual information. They improve their critical thinking skills. They also have their values changed. So a field trip can be a broadening experience, and it seems to improve their tolerance and empathy. We also found that it helps create cultural consumers. Kids come back to the museum at a higher rate if they get to go on a field trip. They come back on their own or with their families.
This is the first time they've been to this fantastic new museum from the sounds of it. Do you think that you can carry these results into other field trip experiences?
Well, we actually did a companion study, which was a long-term study of the effect of field trips to a performing arts center. So students went to see plays and dance performances and musical performances. And we looked at the cumulative effect of those field trips through seventh grade. And we found the same pattern of benefits from field trips to a different kind of activity. Instead of an art museum, it was a performing arts center. And instead of 3 weeks, we're looking at the effects over several years. And the effects endure and compound.
Did those benefits change at all across demographic groups?
Yes. The benefits were much greater for disadvantaged groups. So minority students, low-income students, and rural students were the students who had the largest gains in all of the measures that we collected, sometimes 2 to 3 times as large as the average effect. So students who may not have the opportunity to have these experiences if the school does not take them are the ones who benefit the most when the school does take them.
So you are looking at a visit to a museum. How do you think the kind of more reward-based model, in other words, taking kids to a water park rather than seeing a museum that they've never seen, do those have any measurable effects, or did you study that?
Well, we don't know. That's a good question, and in future research we can look at it. But the water park doesn't claim to have these benefits. It's not attempting to increase critical thinking skills or provide a broadening experience that increases tolerance or empathy. And so it would be quite unexpected if it produced those benefits, despite not in the least bit trying to do those things. Now, there may be other kinds of benefits from reward trips. So, for example, it may improve school morale. It may motivate students to behave better and perform better on tests, which is why there are these rewards. So I'm not saying that these reward trips have no benefits. It's just that we're missing out on a culturally enriching activity when we don't even try to have it.
J. Philip Green, with school budgets being slashed, there are going to be arguments from the art teachers, the music teachers, the drama teachers, the athletics coaches, that their departments are the ones that deserve the funding. Can you summarize a case for us right now of why field trips are important?
Well, field trips are important because they demonstrate to students that learning is something that's not confined to the classroom. It occurs throughout their lives, in all aspects of their lives, if only they were to approach experiences in that way. And so if we want to create lifelong learners and broaden the set of experiences that students have, then I think field trips are a really critical part of our education experience.
J. Philip Green, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, thank you.
J. Philip Green is head of the Department of Education Reform at the University of Arkansas. He's also a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. His team of researchers tried to calculate the benefits or quantify the benefits of taking school field trips. You can find more information on that at wordofmouthradio.org.